for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, April the 10th, 2004. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carla Boutaud of Newton, Texas is the minister on this.
I am a literal thinker. So whenever I first got into the Word, it was real easy for me just to take it and believe it. Because I'm, as my husband says, gullible. Just believe everything you're told. And so I was bored as a young girl, and my daddy said, well, Mama's got the makings for chocolate chip cookies in there. Go make some chocolate chip cookies. So I got in there, and I got the bag of chocolate chips and was reading the recipe, and I mean, I followed it to the T. And it said flour and sugar and soda and all these things, and I had them all, you know, in little bowls. And the last ingredient was salt set aside. So I set the salt aside. And I put the butter and everything in it and mixed it all up, made the cookies and presented it to Daddy, and it was horrible. What is the matter with these cookies? Well, I don't know. I followed the recipe. So he went over and he looked at all the, you put the salt and, I mean, all this stuff, and then he got to the salt, and I said, he said, what is this? I said, that's the salt. Well, why didn't you put it in there? I said, it never did say to put it in there. It had salt set aside. Never did say to put the salt. Now, I didn't tell y'all that so that you would just kind of doze off and not listen to anything else I have to say. But to tell you that God really can make the simple wise. Because I am a very simple person, but the gospel is simple. And sometimes it is presented so difficultly that we can't even get it. But it's been my experience as I was raised going to church every Sunday of my life and never met Jesus Christ. Isn't that sad? But I was saved at 23 years old, not going to the church that I was raised in. My brother had a tremendous salvation experience, and I knew that he had something that I didn't know anything about, and I wanted it. And it caused me to seek the Lord, salvation, and all that is in it. He was called into the ministry, or felt called into the ministry, and so he went away to seminary, and I was so jealous. Because he was going to get to go and be taught, you know, by learned men. And he was taught by learned men. I, on the other hand, took my word and got in my chair and began to read the word. And the Holy Spirit began to open up the word to me and teach me. And it has been such an adventure I can't even tell you. And I've been in preparation for this day where I could give out the things that he has taught me in 27 years, hopefully to make your journey a little shorter, to teach you some things that he's taught me. And I will tell you that 5 years ago, my confession could be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 8 of 2 Corinthians. How it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. But my confession at that time was troubled, distressed, perplexed, in despair, feeling persecuted, feeling forsaken, and almost destroyed. Now, 5 years later, I can tell you that my confession can be found in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Thank you. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Paul said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things move me. That's where we need to get, to a place of the overcomer. You know, in Revelations, it says time and time again, to him that overcometh. To him that overcometh. Yes. Everything that's coming to those in the end are to the overcomer. And we must get to the place of the overcomer. He's already gotten the victory for us. We just need to learn how to plug into it and walk in it, even when everything looks like it's in trouble. And there are some things that God instructed me in about prayer. During this time, I spent a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time in tearful prayer, because it was scary. I had lived very closely to the Lord for 27 years, so I thought about 22 years at this time, and I had a very deep faith, a very deep prayer life with the Lord, but some things came into my life that brought me to a place deeper than my faith went. And I had to find that deeper place, the rock. You know, there was the storm came, the wind blew, the rains came, and the house began to shake. And it was a very scary place for me. And as I cried out to God, even, you know, the very foundation of my faith was shaken, because there were things that I had believed and these didn't fit in that belief, and so now what? And so as I cried out to God, he began to minister to me. One thing, as I would pray daily, you know, almost the same prayer, what it seemed like was the proverbial rug had been jerked out from under me. I mean, I was laying on the ground just gasping for breath. And he began to minister to me in just line upon line, precept upon precept, scripture that was deep down in me. And that's why it's so important for us to be in the Word, even when things are good. We need to be feasting on his Word, because when those times come, that Word needs to be there for God to bring it up to us, for the Holy Spirit to bring it to our remembrance as we need it. I teach, and so there are a lot of stories that I've taught on. And I was praying to the Lord one day, and I'll tell you, this had to do with my children, all three of them. You know, it was, at one point I just, Lord, you know, the devil is stealing my children. All three, seemingly, you know, raised in the Word. I mean, this was never supposed to happen. How is this happening? It was like suddenly we looked like the rest of the world that didn't even have a God. And Dale, who laid the groundwork for everything that the Lord had given me to talk to the women about, said that, you know, we see a lot of people being blindsided. And that shouldn't come as a surprise to us, because the Word says in Matthew that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And when John the Baptist came proclaiming the coming of Jesus Christ, it changed everything on the earth. I mean, Satan and his kingdom got really nervous. Because when Jesus came, it was just Jesus. Before that, it was the prophet. When Jesus came, and the devil thought that he was going to wipe Jesus out, but when Jesus was resurrected and sent the Holy Spirit to the earth, that power that was in Jesus would be dispersed to everyone who believed. And what a mighty force was going to be on this earth. And we are a part of that. Each one of us has received the very power that Jesus walked this earth with. That's what the Word told me. And I believed it. And I was challenged as a very young believer, because I read over the very first book that the Lord led me to read after I was saved and could read the Word with understanding was the book of James. Ooh, tough stuff in James. I was all in there. But I got to chapter 5 where it said, if any among you are sick, let them call on the elders of the church and be anointed with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And I just stopped right there because I was the mother of three little children that were sick all the time. All the time. And I just said, Lord, I talk out loud to him, you know, just like he's in the room with me. Lord, wouldn't that be wonderful if it could be that way? And he said, well, what do you mean, if? This is my word. And you either believe it or you don't. You can't believe that over there and not believe this too. It's all my word. And I felt like I was being challenged. And I said, well, yes, okay. So, Lord, if I see it in your word, I will believe it. And in James it says not to be a hearer only, but also a doer. So I will not only believe it, I will do it. And then I was so excited that I did something I had no idea what I was doing. But I meant it with all of my heart and still do. And Lord, I give you permission to use me and my family to prove to the world that you are who you say you are and you will do what you say you will do. Well, during this 5-year time, I remember and I learned early on not to say, why, Lord? Why? When I hear people say, why, just forget that. What now? Get past the why. Even if he told you why, it doesn't change things. What do we do now? But I did. I asked him, why, Lord, is this happening? And he said, oh, but don't you remember? You gave me permission. And I thought, well, yes, Lord, I did. So now what? As I prayed one day, he said, why are you coming to me with this? And I said, well, Lord, who else can I go to? And then I was reminded of a teaching that I did on Moses. When he had his back against the Red Sea, the people of Israel had been delivered out of Egypt. And now the Egyptians are coming after him again. And all of these people they are going crazy. They are scared to death. They are panicking. They are screaming out at Moses. And Moses didn't know what to do. So he starts telling them, peace, be still. Fear not, fear not. You're going to see the arm of the Lord deliver today. And God interrupted him and said, why are you crying out to me? But raise up thy rod. And then immediately he reminded me, did I say to you that if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, that you would ask me and I would move the mountain? No, I said, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say to the mountain. And I thought, well, okay. So then I got to thinking about the Old Testament. You know, I was a terrible student in school. I hated history. And for years, people would say the Old Testament is the history. Well, I stayed out of the Old Testament for a long time because I didn't like history. But after a while, I had to know what was in that front part. And it was there that God began to explode my faith. Because as I read about God and the way his faithfulness to the people, and it would say, thus saith the Lord God, and then a little ways down it would say, and it came to pass. I mean, if he said it, it happened. And so I got to paying attention to these things in the Old Testament. And the people, I thought about Joshua. You know, he said to the moon and to the sun. And Elijah, the things that he said. And we are men just like they are. In fact, if you want to know the truth of it, we actually have more power than they did. Because we have the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of us. We just don't know how to use our power. You know that scripture that says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And there's more. according to the power that worketh within you. The power is in us. We're not using it. So it's time for us as the church to learn to use the power that He's given us. The reason we don't see answers to our prayers is because many times we're sitting around asking God to do what He has given us the power and the authority to do. The rod that Moses had was given to him, and with it, God told him to use that. That was God's authority and God's power, and we have that. Well, I didn't know how to use it, but I learned. In this little church that I'm in, God put me there. You know, I yearned to be in a fellowship where I could hear the Word of God, where the music would minister to me. I'll tell you, when we first started that little church out there, the people were so excited. I would share God with them, and they would share God with me, and I would go home and say, "Boy, these people they don't have the same God I have. They have the God with the hammer. I mean, their God was hateful. I felt sorry for these people." And so it was my heart's desire to share the loving God, the Redeemer, you know, the Forgiver, the Provider, that Abba Father, you know. And so we started this little church, and we had a honky-tonk band. I mean, there was people in the community. "Oh, I know this guy plays the fiddle. This guy plays this, and this guy plays that." We even had a homemade Indian-type bass thing. I mean, it was music, but it could have been in any bar the Saturday night before. You know, it was just like, I would just grieve, you know. And one day the Lord just said, I was sitting on the porch crying, literal tears, you know, yearning for worship and fellowship, and it just wasn't there. And God said, "Listen, you leave the music to me. You leave the preaching to me. I just want you to be there." I said, "Okay, Lord." So I got up and went in the kitchen, and my husband was eating cereal at the bar, and he said, he saw I had been crying. He said, "Now, honey, today when we get to church, just don't worry about the music, and don't worry." I'm going, God just told me the same thing on the front porch. So, you know, I knew that we were on the right track. So I was there. And 5 years later, I'm saying, "Lord, I have been there for 5 years. And nothing is any different." And only one person, you know, all of those people needed what God wanted to share with them. But they couldn't receive it. Because the Word of God is made of no effect by the traditions of men. And they were so steeped in tradition that they could not receive it. Janet received it. I said, "Lord, only one person has received what you've had to give. But then, Lord, you know, one person, I thank you for that. If it's only one person," I said, "boy, God loves you, you know. He loves you." And so Easter morning in the year 2000, in my prayer time before church, I open it up. And it's, you know, I know all the stories at the time. I didn't know exactly where they all were and exactly how they all started. But it was in Ezekiel 37. And at the very, this is where it starts in my Bible, right here. At the very bottom of the corner. And it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, very many in the open valley, and lo, very dry." And I thought, that is me. He has brought us to this place, put us down in the middle of this vast place. And if you look on the map, between three different cities and stuck your finger right in the center is where our house is. I mean, it is in the very center of this place. And I didn't know a soul. We bought the land, we built the house, and it was all done, and Mike went to work, and the kids went to school, and I got out on the porch with my word and my coffee and fellowship with the Lord, and it was just so wonderful for a while. And then I said, Lord, what are we doing here? I don't know one soul in this place. And so I began to walk the roads, not even streets, they're dirt roads. But I would exercise and walk, and a car would come by and stop and introduce themselves and ask me where I lived. And I began to meet the people. So I saw this was me, and lo, very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. So I would go to church. I mean, that was my commission. I would go to that little church, and we had a preacher at the time, and he would say, let us pray, and everybody would bow their heads, and I'd be going, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these that are slain. Raise them up out of their graves. Fill them with your life, Lord, that they might know you, the Lord God. That would be my prayer. Then I thought, boy, I'd leave the house, and I thought, this whole place, not just the church, I would send out your word. I would, Lord, I send out your word from this place, right here, like a stone dropped in, just let it ripple out in every direction. Every house in this community. Man, I got busy prophesying. I learned that prophesying is speaking with the inspiration of God. You speak the desired end. And I began in the situation that I was in with my children, I began to prophesy over my children. I would remind Satan every day that my children were saved, covered with the blood, baptized, and belonged to Jesus, and they would serve him every day of their life. It may not look like it now, but it's coming. And one day I was sitting in my chair, and if a broken heart could kill you, I would be dead. And I just, Lord, how can this ever be better? And he said, as long as you sit and look at what you see, at sight and circumstances, this is where you're going to find yourself. Now, you can continue this, or you can stand on my word. And I said, stand on your word. I mean, it stopped the tears, because once again, he gave me a choice. And so I said, stand on your word. And immediately, two scriptures. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from that. He will not depart from it. And the other one is, all your children shall be taught of me, and great shall be their peace. And I said, Lord, I did that. I did that. He said, then stand on my word. And so, all of a sudden, revelation. Because for years, oh, I would read the word. Boy, and there would be that little bitty segment of scripture. And it always came in such a place it didn't even really fit. It's like you just threw it in there. The just shall live by faith. And that would always stump me. I would stop and say, Lord, you know, the just shall live by faith. Now, I know we are the just. You have made us just. And I know that we are people of faith. But when you say, live by faith, what are you talking about? How do you live by faith? Well, he showed me. The way we live by faith is, we have the promises of God right here. It says that all of his promises are yea and amen. When we do the promise says, do this and that. Do this and this will be the result. So I did this, okay? I don't see the result. No, because it's the manifestation of it is over here. The promise is here. You be obedient. The manifestation is here. This is where we have to live by faith until we see the manifestation. And then the next day, I mean, the tears dried up. I didn't cry anymore after that. The tears dried up. I had work to do. But there was so much sorrow and grief in my heart because, you know, you have dreams for your children. You have plans for your children. And these things were not going to happen quite that way now. But God had a plan. What happened was never His plan. But God showed me that He had given me a work to do. And Satan had tried to stop me, discourage me, make me shut up, make me quit, make me have shame over what was happening, be too embarrassed to even go out in public. No. He said, He's using your children. So He tried to get you personally, couldn't do it. So He's going to use your heart, those things that are tied to your heart. And let me tell you, our heartstrings are all tied up in our children. Too strong. Oh, He showed me it just borders on idolatry. You know, we want to be our children's God. And for a long time, it's the only God they know. We teach them about authority and obedience and discipline from the parents. And it's the only God that, you know, that they can understand. I was that way with my daddy. My daddy was the representation of God on the earth to me. I wanted to please my daddy. I loved my daddy. My daddy loved me. And then daddy died. So it was very easy for me to transfer what I had with my daddy to my Abba daddy. You know, it was just so natural because my daddy was a godly man. And so he showed me that Satan was trying to shut me up and make me stop. And that was the end of being distressed and all of those things. I'm not having that. I'm not going to disappoint my God, you know. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. He's not going to beat me. If Satan can cause you to take your eyes off of the things that God has called you to do and get him over here on all the mess, then he's just about won the battle. So we have to stay focused, just like Peter. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he could, you know what, he could live supernaturally. He defied gravity. He walked on the water, just like Jesus did, until he looked and saw. And that's what we have to do. No matter what is going on, we've got to stay focused. We've got to keep our mind on the promise. We've got to know that the manifestation is coming and have faith and be faithful until it does. And then he showed me the steps in Romans chapter 4. You know, all this has to do with becoming violent. You know, the violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Jesus told us you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So he shows us how to do it. The violent, that word in the concordance means vitally active, energetic, vitally active, and forceful. That should describe Christians. Energetic, vitally active, and forceful. But what usually happens with us is, as long as everything is going good, we can be energetic, vitally active, forceful, having the victory. But when troubles come, it just knocks us off of our feet. We don't know what to do when trouble comes. We've not been taught what to do when trouble comes. And trouble's coming. Troubles come. Satan is in the world. We're going to have trouble. That's his job. And he's on the job 24 hours a day. So we need to know how to handle him when he comes. In Romans chapter 4, the day after God showed me that I had to live by faith, this was my scripture reading. And I just thought, Lord, you are so awesome. These are the steps that show us how to do this. In verse, I'll just start at 13. For the promise that he, Abraham, should be the heir of the world, not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they who are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, God, who giveth life to the dead, and calleth those things which are not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Those are our steps. Abraham was given a promise, and God wanted him to be so sure of that promise that he changed his name to mean father of a multitude, so that he walked around for many years introducing himself as, I am the father of a multitude. And he was childless, okay? Now, when I began to speak in faith about my children, we were known throughout the city for all the wrong reasons. You know, it was quite a test. But I did not let that bother me because God showed me what to do. But I would, you know, if I had a word that would mean the mother of three children who serve the Lord, that's what I would call myself. Because that was the promise. And I did the promise. I raised them. I trained them up in the way they should go. And I was counting on the rest of it. A third of that is today. Two-thirds of it still here. But I consider not, see, because I have the promise. And I'm going to live by faith until I see it. And I you know, the Word says for us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And I pray my request. I don't have any problem making requests to my God. And He grants. I mean, just the most amazing things. So I make my request to God. And then in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. I'm telling you, when things look absolutely hopeless, you got to have hope. Against hope, believe that you will have what was promised. Being not weak in faith, here's the tough one. He considered not the facts, the things that he could see with his eyes, the things that we would call the truth, because that's what is. But this is the truth. This is the truth. So we have to consider not. I mean, someone would call me up and tell me something about one of the kids, and I would just say to myself, not to them, I consider not. I just consider not. Abraham looked at Sarah. She was past childbearing. Hey, he considered that not. God said, and it is. So I consider not what I see with my eyes, what I hear with my ears, what I know to be true, but it's not. It's not. So, I consider not the facts. I stagger not at the promise of God, which here is called unbelief. If you stagger at the promises of God, it's unbelief. We shouldn't stagger at the promises of God. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. For what? For the what was coming. You glorify God even when it's not yet. You thank Him that it is, even though you don't see it. You give glory to God, and it changes things. And be faithful in the waiting. Now, Abraham and Sarah made the same mistake as we do about a lot of things, thinking that God needs our help to get this promise to come, and they got an Ishmael. Be patient for your Isaac. That's the perfect promise. His perfect manifestation of the promise. We get in a hurry. I'm telling you, I'm learning about God's timing, and it is not our timing. We want things in a hurry. When you get a word, I see people get a word. I mean, I have had words. When all this mess first started in my family, the Lord led me to this service, and there was a man that operated in the gift of prophecy. I walked in that church, and the most beautiful praise music, and all I could do was cry. Lord, I cannot even sing. You know? It was like someone stuck a hole in my big toes and just everything just drained out of me. And there was no joy at first. And I just was crying out to God. I don't even know what to pray, Lord. This is such a mess. And it just, in my heart, I was just crying out to God. And the man, and I had not been around prophecy very much, but the man walked straight up to me after the song service and repeated my prayer to me. You've been crying out to God. And I was like, whoa, wow. So I listened to what he had to say. You know, your tears will be turned to dancing. And, you know, and it sounded good, but I couldn't even receive it. I heard it. He gave me a tape of it, and I played it often. But it was like, I just, you know, I don't know how that can happen, Lord, but, man, I want it. But it took 5 years, you know. But who cares? It got there, you know. So we need to be patient. In Hebrews, it tells us about patience. You have need. Let me find that. You have cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Yes, and here it comes. For yet a little while, and he shall come, will come, he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. There it is. And you know, that's only in the Bible 4 times, and once in, I think it's Habakkuk, it says, the just shall live by his faith. Not even our own, but his. His faith. We'll live by his faith. So, don't get in a hurry. But isn't it nice to know that God didn't veto the promise because they messed up? Isn't he so gracious? And he even made provision for the mistake. And don't you know that was painful? They lived, what a mess that made. You know, the wife and the handmaid and oh. And we're still living with that. The mistake in the nation, you know. So be patient. Wait for your Isaac. He gave glory to God. And you know, in all of the stories in the Old Testament, the men, the mighty men of God, were faithful to God no matter what. Job, faithful to God. Daniel, faithful to God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, faithful to God. And it caused them to have miraculous endings. You know, we think those people, we think that they knew they were going to come out of the fire. They didn't know they were going to come out of the fire. Don't you know they felt fear? But they had confidence in their God. But even in their confidence, they said, our God will deliver. But even if he doesn't, does that sound like us? But they went in the fire. Hey, we're going to have some fire. But the fire had no power over them. And the fire can have no power when it comes to destroy. Satan has no power. And he is a liar. I love that today. He's just a liar. All he can do is threaten you, and if you buckle, hey, he just stomp all over you.